Hoyos, some 21 miles to the southwest of Havana, which we have at the moment labeled a probable MRBM / IRBM launch complex. The name of the town nearest is this, it is there. The two sites, sir, numbers 1 and 2, are 2.5 miles apart, and enlarging this one, we look at it, and we see for the first time a pattern of medium / IRBM sites that looks like the things we have been seeing in the Soviet Union. There are two pads here and here. They are separated by 750 feet. There's a control bunker with cable scars going up to small buildings inboard of each of the pads. There's no equipment on the pads yet. They're under construction. The security fence has been superimposed around the place. And on 29 August, the last time we went over this area, the ground had just scarcely started to be scratched. At the same time, 2.5 miles south of there is site number 2. On 29 August, there were no scratchings on the ground at all, and since that time, these scratchings have taken the form slightly different. This pattern, 2-1-2-1-2, is called the offset inline. They're slightly more in line in here. There looks like there's going to be a fourth one up in here, but the spacing is the same. The orientation of the axis of the pads, 3-1-5, which will bring you into the central massif of the United States. We call it / IRBM, sir. We've never identified irrevocably the signature of the Soviet intermediate range ballistic missile, which is estimatedly a 2,000-mile missile. But the elongation of the pads and the location of the control bunkers between each pair of pads has been the thing that has suggested to our hearts, if not our minds, the kind of thing that might accompany an IRBM. So we have at the moment labeled it as such and let the guided missiles intelligence analysts come up finally with the true analysis of what the range of these missiles might be that are eventually accommodated on this set of pads. If I may switch to the next one, sir.
Yes, take over.
Yes, sir. Thank you. two of those crates, some 60 feet long, which we had interpreted from the deck side photography that the Navy had taken to be possibly the crates that would accommodate the IL-28 or Beagle type of aircraft. This field is long enough to accommodate those craft. I think they need something around 6,000 feet to take off. We've got 7,000 feet. We definitely have not yet seen the Beagle IL-28. One fuselage has been taken from one of the boxes. It's up at this location. It's 58 feet long, which is about the length of the Beagle fuselage. And you can see the wing roots, but the actual wing tips have not yet been installed. We just caught them apparently at the start of the assembly operation. And it would appear that San Julian, this hitherto unused airfield, may be the locus for IL-28 activity. That's all I have at the moment, Mr. President.
A percentage of the island that we got covered here.
In these separate missions, the one of Sunday, October the 14th, the two on Monday, October the 15th, represents a considerable percentage from north to south and from east to west. But the business of plotting the clouds has not been completely done, so I can't give you a good figure.
In other words, from the information we have prior to the development of these new films, we say there are how many different missile sites, as well as how many different launch pads on each site?
Well, sir, we had not found anything like the MRBM sites in any of the photography up to this 15 October bit. We had found and added to it last night one more surface-to-air missile site, so that made a total of 23 as of this location. However, one of them has been pulled up and moved away at Santa Lucia. We don't know where they pull these things up and move them to, but we have seen 23 surface-to-air missile sites. We've seen three of these surface-to-surface cruise type of missile sites at Banas and up here where at Del Norte and then down on the Isle of Pines. We have one other type of missile site up here north of Havana, which we haven't been able to identify yet as being either cruise or some other type of site, but which we're carrying an unknown. And now we've added to this, and in the briefings of the last couple of days, we've added the field type of installation, this 650 or 1100 mile missile, as it probably is, near San Cristobal, with these three sites located here, which we briefed on the other day. And in the photography of Monday of this week, we've now added what looks like a more fixed type of site, conforming to a signature which we have seen.
So in other words, you get five different missile sites.
Yes, sir.
And how many pads on each site?
Well, sir, at this location here, we don't have pads. We had these erectors, these 60-foot-long objects that lay on the ground. There were four erectors there. We have found three erectors in not yet in position, but lying around, being disposed here. And we have more erectors, but they're under the trees and we can't tell. But it would seem as though there's going to be four erectors at each of those locations. And it would appear that there are going to be four launch pads at each of those two. But these will be firmer type of launchings, and these will be the portable field type of launching equipment.
The Jim Committee made an estimate that 16 and 32 missiles would be operational within a week or slightly more. This was an estimate that prepared yesterday.
Have the any electronic emissions from the FAM been picked up? I had a report they had were showing life.
No, if they are, there was some SIGINT equipment. I'd say the SIGINT responses on Monday that did not state conclusively that the radars were operational. However, we do estimate that some of these SAM sites will be operational within a week's time.
If an unsophisticated observer, if you want to ever release these pictures to demonstrate that they were
10 of us were flying with Pelican something. And I don't believe that a threat of general nuclear war should deter us. If he means it, he would have so reacted even if the strike should come first. My chief concern about a strike without any diplomatic effort is that it would eventually, that it would immediately lead to war with Cuba, and it would not be the neat, quick disposal of the bases as was suggested. Furthermore, I'm reasonably certain the Allied reaction would be dead against us, especially if the Soviet retaliated locally in Turkey or Italy on Berlin. take the SAM sites out. If you're going to go for all these today, that's for the air fuel strikes. The pattern rate is broadened out to the point where you're going to have to take other targets related to affecting the basic objective.
I think that's particularly true if you expect to have any following surveillance. SAM sites will soon become operational, and even though we take out, we follow, and one and two, we still would have a requirement of what's going on.
We're in for a prolonged air war, I would say, indefinitely, you know, either under one, two, or three, actually.
Well, under two, you don't need to take out the SAM sites before they become operational.
They may be operational at any time.
We have almost certainly under two more targets than are indicated here. There were 16 targets shown. We have at least three more targets from evidence since last night, and we will certainly have some more tonight and tomorrow. And therefore, two verges very directly into three. If the SAM sites become operational, two becomes three, because in a very real sense, that's the major.
Let me ask you this, Bob, when we're talking about the three versus five, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
The advantage of three is that you would hope to do it in a day.
Yes, and it could be done.
And the day, and with five would be 7 or 8 or 9 days with all the consequences.
That is correct.
Increase the tension. Now, if we did three, we would assume that by the end of the day, their ability to use planes against us, after all, they don't have that much range, so they'd have to come back to the field and organize it, right?
You would assume by the end of the day, their Air Force would be nearly destroyed. I say nearly because there might be a few sporadic weapons around.
Yes, I would stress the point, Mr. President. There would be guaranteed 100% right.
Always, but at least as far as they accept with nuclear, I would think you'd have to go on the assumption that they're not going to commit nuclear weapons to be used against the United States from Cuba unless they're going to be using it from every place.
Well, I'm not sure they can stop it. This is why I emphasize the point I did. I don't believe the Soviets would authorize their use against the U.S., but they might nonetheless be used. And therefore,
time from that point of view, even though it's the greatest danger in the long run. So that's about the thought that arises in my mind, and I think Bill and the chief would join me in that. There's one factor that we talked about at length yesterday, the political actions which Mr. Boland recommends and many others think must be done. Certainly militarily, that is undesirable. If we really have in mind the urgency of taking out the surprise, the missiles, and the IL-28. On the other hand, if it's considered politically necessary, it's quite true there's an offsetting incentive if we could be making military moves of readiness to reinforce the political action and actually to shorten the time of our reaction.
I mean, if we gave, say, this 24-hour notice, like getting in touch with Khrushchev or taking any other action with our allies, I would assume that they would move these mobile missiles into the woods with them.
There's a danger, Mr. President. If you talk in terms of 24 hours, I would doubt it. But the more you add on,
they just take my truck and carry them away.
Mr. President, I don't believe they're equipped to do that. And I say that because if they are equipped to do that, they would have been equipped to erect them more quickly. I think it's unlikely they would move them in 24 hours. If they were to move them in 24 hours, I think we could keep enough reconnaissance over the island during that period to have some idea where they moved and have every reason to believe we'd know where they were.
Take a little longer, though. Again.
What?
Take a little longer. Take very careful reconnaissance to know where they are. Why are you so confident that they couldn't hide them or get them in immediate readiness in 24 hours?
Well, I'm not confident. I didn't say they couldn't get them in immediate readiness in 24 hours. I don't believe that we would lose them with a 24-hour discussion with Khrushchev.
How quick is our communications with Moscow? Say we sent somebody to see him and he was there at the beginning of the 24-hour period to see Mr. Khrushchev. How long would it be before Khrushchev's answer could get back to us just by communication?
I guess it had to go in code probably six hours, I guess.
Well,
you can telephone, of course.
Wouldn't really have to go in code, would it?
You could shorten the time a lot by not digging in a highly confidential code.
But that'd be a couple hours.
I mean, the quickest way might be actually to know it, not to run into any delays on their end would be to bring in here an actual text to bring in here and let him transmit it, because that would get to Khrushchev straight away. Whereas somebody else might have a problem and send me out of points or something like that.
Thank you.
he imposed the blockade of Berlin, and then you start to talk, and he would create these two officers.
That's
what he'd figured, yes.
Seems to me one point on this, there's a lot of little science, but I was always curious as to why he said he deferred this till after the election.
Mr. President, you might be interested in a general item on reaction to that.
check this.